Good evening. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coach, and we're about to start our second session, Module 2. So I wanted to welcome all of you. We've got callers from all over the world calling in, just like last week, which is very exciting. We've got people from South Africa. We've got Christo. We've got people calling in from Europe. We have people in New York and California and Oregon, and it's very exciting to have this elite group of coaches on our call. So I wanted to get right into some great content for you tonight, and just wanted to give you a few logistics first. The bathrooms are on the right, just a little humor there. I guess you probably all got your own restrooms at your place, and you're free to use them anytime. The website, we're going to be always adding new material every week. You'll see the assignments right after this call in Module 2. And also tools there. We're going to be adding action plans that you can use for yourself and for your clients for each of the topics that we talk about on these calls, and also for all the several key chapters. Most of the chapters in the book will be providing, tools, homework assignments that you can do, and also, great homework assignments for your clients, for your coaching clients, and assessments that you can use. So we'll just be gathering a wealth of tools here. I'll be putting those on the website, things that I actually use in my practice over the last 30 years and continually evolving and continually growing. So you'll have just a wealth of tools and materials you can use, plus a structure that you can go through. Some clients are very, structured themselves, and they know exactly what they want and can lead you, right into their specific problems. Other clients, you may need to structure it more for them. And so it's good to have a plan or a course, sort of like a lesson plan or an action plan, some guidelines, ways that you can guide them through various topics. If they need confidence, you'll have a sort of a toolkit for that. If they need to get through negative thoughts, you'll have a toolbox for that. If they need, more motivation, you'll have ways to a whole toolbox and ways to get them motivated and inspired. So whatever it is that they want. If they're injured, that's a big area too. I know several of you on the call are working with people who are injured or recovering from illness or a sports injury. And so lots of tools, visualization exercises for you to be able to get them through their injury and recovering in a really healthy way. So all that is continually evolving here in the with these calls and with the website, adding new materials every week there. So the schedule, in terms of the plan, we're this week we're meeting 5:30. Next week we're going to try an earlier time so that people on the East Coast and around the world can call in more easily. So for next week, which is March 10th, we're going to meet at 10 a.m. Pacific time. It'd be 1 p.m. Eastern time, and so that I think that's it ends up being 8 p.m. in South Africa, so people there can call in as well more easily. And so so put that on your schedule for next week, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time for the call. And if you can't make it, then we'll all these calls will be recorded and posted in the members area. And then finally, the login information. If you have any trouble logging in, just send me an email, and everything should be working well now. To log in, you just go to performingedgecoach.com and scroll down about three times on the right there, and you'll see a little blue bar that says membership detail, and then just click there where it says login and put your login information. It should take you right to the schedule page. And if it already says already logged in, then just click. If it says or if it says log out on there, then just right below that we've got a link now that says already logged in. Click here. So click there, and it should take you to the schedule page, which is in the members area. So go there, and then you can click on any link there on the current module to get you to module one. Or right now it'll take you to module two because that's where we are in the course. And if you want to go back, feel free to go back to Module 1 as well to get any of the materials there. Just click the schedule on the right button, and you can go right back to Module 1, or in the upper left-hand corner there where it says Tips, Tools, and Training, you can click there and that takes you to the modules as well. So that's a little bit about navigating around on the website. And then thank you so much, all of you, for sending in your assignments, especially assignment 1, which really helps me to get to know you and to be able to understand your needs and your goals. And it's great that all of you are sending in all of those assignments and really thinking deep about this, because the more you put into this course, the more you'll get out of it, I think. And really, want you to think on two levels here. One level is learning for yourself and for your own professional and personal development. And secondly, to be able to learn on a deeper level for your clients how to teach these same techniques to your clients. And then third, of course, marketing, how to bring in more clients. The more, the better you are at coaching your clients, the more clients are going to be calling you, wanting your services. It's just a continuous cycle of growth, and it's really great when it just starts taking off and spiraling for you, like it has for me and for so many of the Performing Edge coaches that have gone through this course. So, think of it like a rocket taking off, that you are just ready to explode with opportunity here. So thank you for sending in those assignments. And this week I want you to be thinking about someone that you could do practice coaching with. It could be a current client, or it could be a friend, or it could be a colleague, just someone to practice on. And you could do it for free of charge, if you like, so that you can be able to practice these skills. And then have you do... this week, if you can find someone, do a pre-visualization assessment, and that will be in the members area there. It's a little questionnaire where you gather information from that client about a peak experience that they've had. Ask them, kind of like I was doing with all of you, ask your client or practice client what they, tell me about a peak experience or a peak performance, a time when you felt your absolute best. And it could be in a sport, it could be a training, it could be in a competition, or it could be anything that they're doing that brings about that feeling of confidence and strength. Maybe it's giving a presentation or having a great conversation with someone. Maybe it's the time they met the love of their life. Maybe it's a time on a vacation. It's just something where they felt good. Everyone has one of those times when they felt they had a peak experience. So I'll have an assessment for you there. You could do the experience on the phone or live with the person if they're in your area, either way. But the idea is just to get some experience, asking your client these kinds of questions, gathering this material, and then the week afterward I'll lead you through how to do one of these visualization exercises and make them a custom visualization CD or MP3 file, which is very powerful. It's one of the things that really differentiates you as a Performing Edge coach. So that is a powerful technique. It's no one else is doing this that I know of, that I'm aware of out there. No other program teaches this kind of skill. And there's a lot of skill to it. I mean, anybody can do a visualization exercise, but there's a lot of things that make you really special, that the way that you put the material together, the questions you ask ahead of time, the way that you really customize it for that client. That's what makes it special. That's what makes you able to raise your fees, command higher fees for what you do, because it's not just a canned kind of program or visualization. It's something that exactly what that client needs for that moment, and that's the way that you can get more clients into your practice. It's gives you a huge hedge on the competition. So be thinking about a client, if you can choose one this week, or just talk to someone, a few people, ask if someone would be willing to just be a guinea pig for you. And we just involve, for most people it will be very beneficial for their goals, for whatever they want to achieve in their life. It could be a sports goal, it could be getting over an injury, it could be just moving forward with their life, getting away from some negative habits they want to move on from. Any of those things you can work with your client on, your practice client. So think of someone that you can do this with, and then plan a time you can meet with them for, you know, it could be just 20 minutes to half an hour. Sometimes it goes on for an hour. I had one performing edge coach that I worked with last few months ago where it evolved into such a great session. He was on the phone with her for like 3 hours because she had a lot to talk about. So sometimes it can evolve into, you know, a lot more. But you set the limit on that, what you can do with that person. And just the idea is for you to get the experience that you need. So, yeah, get your practice client together. And then, again, with the material that I'm going to be presenting tonight, I want you to kind of listen on two levels, one for your own learning, for your own development, so that you can learn these performing edge techniques for yourself and as a coach, and then secondly, for how to coach your clients with these techniques. So we'll be working on both of those levels. And then we'll also be talking about some, you know, bringing in some marketing kinds of techniques too, how to get clients into your practice and how to keep them there. So that's the agenda. I'm going to be talking about some of a part two of what makes coaching unique tonight as well. And then what I want to present to you first is some information about the what I call the three P's of your performing edge and how those can really help you differentiate you as a performing edge coach, how you can use these in your coaching practice. But first I just wanted to thank those of you who sent in your questionnaire, and I really got a sense of your vision, what your vision is as a coach. It's great to get all the different perspectives. I know Nicole sent in from New York, sent in her questionnaire, and she says, my vision as a coach is basically to be the go-to gal for my athletes and coaches. I want to be the person that people feel comfortable talking to, that they feel they can trust, who they can depend on. I want to help athletes and coaches not only understand themselves in order to perform better in their sport, but also become better people in their life, to identify what characteristics and values they want to be known for in and out of their sport. So that's a great, just from reading that, Nicole, I can tell you're a great writer. You could write some great articles from that. So, and she says that my ideal coaching practice would be to work with professional athletes, specifically in hockey and baseball, to hold a position on the coaching staff. I hope to be able to show professional teams the benefit of having a performance coach on staff working daily with their athletes and coaches. So that's just an example of some of the that's a great vision that you have there as a coach, Nicole. And I wanted to just highlight a few others that sent in your questionnaire. TJ from Oregon, who's a massage therapist, talks about my vision as a coach. She says, I want to be a coach for athletes and others wanting to perform their best. I have several thoughts. I would like my practice to be a place where people feel comfortable talking with me about any and all their fears, their hopes, their dreams, and where we can discuss anything. It's a collaborative place rather than a place where people come for advice or just to be given rote answers. So I think that's great. You know, I think it's great that we have massage therapists in this program as well, because you really get it, that there's a mind-body connection, and you can help people on both levels for sure. And then I wanted to read, Christo from South Africa wrote to me in terms of vision as a coach. He said, I want to be the best mental conditioning coach in South Africa with a unique methodology, not only for athletes, but for other spheres of life. And the second part of my vision is to take my knowledge to the corporate world through keynote speaking. So that's fantastic. We'll be talking, Christo, about both areas, not only coaching, but speaking as well, and I think the two really go hand in hand. I've done a lot of keynote speaking around the world at major corporations and at the Olympics and Stanford and major universities and at sports camps, and it's great that you can do that. And all of us, if you can get into speaking at some level, that's a great way to be able to get clients. also for your coaching. So the two really work hand in hand together. And then Crystal writes for his ideal practice, he says, I would do seminars and teaching for top teams and then have a number of trained people that would work individually with athletes. So he says, I would also do keynote speaking internationally. So that's a great vision to have a team of people working with you or underneath you who can also do coaching as well. So fantastic. Let's see. And I had one other one that I wanted to read for Sue, who's in San Francisco Bay Area here in California, talks about her vision that I want to work specifically with people who are in the process of healing from an injury, struggling from an illness, or dealing with sudden life changes that have forced them to take a look at ways to find meaning in their sort of, quote, new normal, you know, a new way to be normal, a healthier way, right? She writes, as a coach, I would like to receive referrals from medical professionals and other coaches who believe that working on the emotional aspects of physical injury is valuable. So that's fantastic, Sue. I think, I really want everyone here to be successful, and I know that you can be. It's a great vision that you have, and the more you can keep that vision in your mind and play that movie over and over in your mind every day, it's going to happen for you. So she writes, what's my business to look like? Sue writes that my ideal coaching practice would take place primarily by phone and internet, and my clients may not be able to travel to an office easily, since they might be undergoing treatment, that sort of thing. And we would schedule weekly calls, and my clients would do some homework between sessions in order to put the concepts we work into practice. So fantastic. That's exactly what I think, what we'll be talking about in this call. And also, Dr. Andrew Collier is a chiropractor in New York, and he's also in Sedona, Arizona. And Dr. Collier also wrote in for his vision. He mentioned that my intention is to be a world-class coach. So that's a fantastic vision to have. And he said that what he would like to happen, he said, I know whatever I do, it's going to be helping people. For me, that's a given. That's what I do. And so he was looking at, specifically at financial goals and, wrote down specific financial goals that he wants to achieve and also to be able to work 30 to 35 hours per week. Could be happy with that. So it's good to, you might think, all of you think of not only the specific tasks that you want to do, but also like Dr. Collier is doing here, writing down the number of hours a week you want to work, the lifestyle that you want to create, and also the amount of income that you want to make regularly. That's a great way to look at all this as well. So let's get into some of the material here. I want to talk about what I call the three P's and how to actually implement these with yourself and with your clients. So I want to help you get up to speed on this very quickly. And in this time today, I want to teach you so that you can learn the Your Performing Edge techniques of mental training. You'll have the essential tools of the trade that top performers use so you can be at your best as a coach more consistently. And you can, the most important thing here is I want you to be able to create the lifestyle, a lifestyle for you that is healthy and fulfilling so you can realize your true potential and you can help your clients to realize their true potential. So let's get right into the three power tools to help build. So you can think of this, as I was saying, on two levels. Think of this for yourself in your own performance as personally and as a coach, and then also in these are ways that think of how you could implement these with your athletes, with your clients, how you could actually the same things that I'm teaching you right now, you can be teaching your clients as well. So these are three power tools to build new motivation, create a strong sense of self-confidence so you can break through those mental barriers to discover your Performing Edge. I call them the three P's. The three P's are positive images, power words, and present focus. So we'll go through and chat a little bit about each one of those, give you a quick introduction here, and then I want to go into the first one in a little more depth today. So the first one is create positive images. So you want to be able to use visualization in your mind and body. See yourself doing it right. So for instance, let me tell you what Lance Armstrong told me in my interview with him. It's in chapter one of the book there, of your Performing Edge book that you probably read this week. He says before he gets on his bike, he visualizes the one purpose for that workout, exactly what he wants to accomplish. And he sees it before he begins riding. So you can do the same thing. Visualize your coaching with your athletes and your clients and see yourself as focused, confident, and feeling good. So I'm going to show you exactly how to do that and we're going to practice that today. Also, you know, just like when you're working with your athletes, these are ways that you can describe how the Performing Edge techniques work, why they work, and so that they get the idea that this is really powerful and they buy into it and can practice it and learn it and really get motivated, understand, and believe that they can really progress forward using these techniques. So you can tell your athletes for the same thing. You can do the same thing as Lance. Visualize your training. If you're a baseball player, you can say just this pitch. If you're a runner, you can say just this step. If you're a tennis player, just this serve. You know, just focus on that moment and tell your athletes, teach them to be confident, focused, feeling good, and visualizing, you know, see it exactly the way you want it to happen. So we're going to go into specific techniques on the way to do that. So that's the first P, positive images. The second P is what I call power words. So words have tremendous power over our minds and also our bodies. And so when all that negative chatter comes in, you want to be prepared with key phrases and words, a different dialogue, a second dialogue almost, that you can say to yourself, that you can be ready with, so that you can turn down the volume. It's almost like a radio, turning down the volume on the negative chatter and turning up the volume on your own other dialogue that you have prepared to tell yourself to keep yourself going. So, for instance, you want to dialogue with yourself using key words and phrases and coach yourself with affirmations and power words. So, for instance, when you're feeling wiped out and you want to quit, you can say, my mind and body are growing stronger and healthier every moment. When you're saying, I'm too fat, I'm too old, I'm too slow, all those things go through our minds. You can say to yourself, I believe in myself. I radiate an inner confidence. So there's all kinds of ways that you can change it around to every time there's a negative thought that comes up, you write it. I think I mentioned this last time. You know, have your athletes, your clients take a piece of paper and draw a line down the center, a vertical line down the center of the page, and on the left-hand side write negative thoughts or self-doubts. And so all the negative chatter that comes up, you write it down. It gets it out of your brain and onto paper. And then it becomes a self-discipline that you can, as soon as those thoughts come up, you can then be able to transfer over to the right-hand side of the page, which there you write power words and positive reframing. And so you want to write down what you really want to be thinking, you know, the opposite of I'm too slow, I'm too fat, I'm too old. What's the opposite of that? And you ask your athlete that, you ask your clients, rather than tell them, you want to ask them, okay, what would you like to be thinking? And let them come up with their own power words. So, for instance, you know, before I give you yours, you know, you could write down what would be the opposite of that and write down something on the right-hand side of the page that would be more more positive and moving forward. Like, I'm happy, I'm feeling good about the direction I'm moving in. Whatever you want to say that is in the present tense and positive and uses I statements so that you integrate it. It becomes internalized. So we'll go into more specifics on the power words and how to use those a little later here. The third P, so we've got positive images, power words, and the third P is present focus. So be right on, right here, right now. So you want to, with present focus, you know, we're usually thinking about all the things that went before. It's like you're running a marathon. You're worrying about all the miles you just run. You're thinking about all the miles you have to go. But the only mile that matters, the only one you can do anything about, is the one you're in right now, right? So what you want to do is be able to focus on, you know, just this step, just this moment, just this conversation. For you as a coach, that's the most important thing, is to think just this client, just this moment, so that you can be fully here now. When someone does call you, or when you are working with a client, you want to be totally with them every step of the way, every moment. And if you can, especially that first session, if you can do a very powerful, you know, be in that present focus and do a powerful session with them, then they're hooked. They're hooked on you, and they want to keep working with you more and more. So the key is to be present, be fully present with whoever it is that you're working with as a coach. So I want you to really think about this the third one, the present focus, as a way to you know, be a more effective coach. It's very powerful for you. And with your clients, teaching them how to have the present focus will help them to be present in whatever it is that they are doing with their sport, to be, or let's say it's healing, you know, just being able to be totally present with, let's say they're going in for surgery. Imagine what's going on there so they can be completely present with that. You know, I think several of you are involved with healing and recovery and working with patients who are injured or recovering, and I wanted to give you an example of that, of how I work with a client. I had a client a few months ago. She was a golfer, and she had foot surgery and was having a really difficult time. She was a professional golfer and had this foot surgery, a bunion surgery, and even though the surgery was over and she was getting better, her mind was still, it was like her mind had not caught up with the treatment process. Her mind had not caught up with the surgery. It's like someone who loses weight who still thinks they're fat. You know, their mind is still in that sort of fat mindset because they don't realize that, oh, yeah, I have lost the weight. I can now think in a different mindset now, a thin mindset. Same thing with people who have been through surgery. Sometimes it just all happens so fast. And oftentimes, of course, when you're in surgery, you know, you're put out with the anesthesia, so you don't really experience it. And so afterward, it's almost like you have to process it through. You can really help your patients, your clients, process that whole thing through to help the mind catch up with the body so that the healing can happen more rapidly. So what I did with this client, with the woman, was we did a visualization. She had been through this surgery, but she really hadn't thought about it much, and so her foot was still hurting, and she wasn't sure why. So we did a series of visualizations where I had her, you know, close her eyes and imagine that treatment process. You know, a lot of times I don't like to call it surgery, but you know, call it treatment or procedure, which is a gentler word. And imagine that she was going through that process, and that imagine the healing process going on. So, for instance, where the osteotomy, where the bones were cut, you know, with the bunion surgery, I had her imagine bridges being built there, so that the, you know, imagine that area closing up properly, so the bridge is being built and all the bones are coming together just right. And she visualized that in terms of the bones healing. And then for the tendons and ligaments, you know, they're like rubber bands. So imagine, you know, this rubber band that's very flexible and strong. All of the tendons and ligaments and connective tissue are being healed correctly so that they are strong and yet flexible and allowing for the right range of motion and the right movement. So we visualize that. And then for the circulation, for the cardiovascular parts, I had her visualize warmth and imagine putting her feet in warm water or warm sand at the beach, and it created warmth. Actually did some biofeedback with her, and we were able to show that, you know, at first her toes were very cold, were like 70, 75 degrees, and we were able to bring them up to 85 or 90 degrees just by her visualizing her feet in a warm place. She didn't actually put them in warm water. She just visualized them being in warm water, and it actually increased the circulation, increased the temperature, so that healing could happen more quickly. So it's a very powerful process. So what happened was she was able to get back out there on the golf course, and in a very short period of time, she was able to get back to playing golf, and the pain went away, I think largely because she was able to process the whole thing through in her mind with these visualization techniques, and her mind was able to catch up with her body so that the healing could occur on a mind-body level, a total healing, rather than just, a partial one. So powerful stuff, just positive images, power words, and present focus. Now, I just wanted to tell you about the process with this mental preparation and mental training in general. You know, mental preparation can do, the way I describe it to my athletes, the way you can describe it to your clients is that, and if you're giving talks, this is a powerful way to relay this information, that mental preparation can do for the mind what stretching does for the body. It can make all the difference in how you think, how you feel, and how you perform. And most people, you know, think mental, or most people think performance is physical. But it's mostly mental, as you know. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this course, right? In fact, I think it's 90% mental. And that's true for first-time athletes. It's true for Olympians. Doesn't matter what level you're at. There is such a huge mental factor. Just like we work out our bodies, we need to also exercise the mind. And so mental training is like taking your brain to the gym. We want our bodies to have many different speeds and gears. The same way, we need the mind to be more flexible so we can shift from those negative to more positive gears. And now, I've worked with incredible individuals in my clinical practice over the last 30 years, Olympians, peak performers, top executives, and athletes at all levels. And there's consistent qualities that every one of these winners shares in common. I can tell you that these factors are accessible to every one of you. So you can tell your athletes that all these factors are accessible to them no matter what level they are playing at. And also, for you as a coach, all of these qualities are accessible to you as well, the same ones that top athletes use. Just stopping to take a little drink of water here. Keep the voice going. Whenever you notice a pause, that's me taking a drink of water. So what is it that champion athletes understand? How is it that they achieve these extraordinary feats? And what can we learn from them as athletes and as coaches? Well, I teach what I call Olympic thinking, how you can learn the winning strategies of champion athletes and apply these to your training, to your life, and to you as coaches, to your coaching. And the good news is there's only a few key areas that you need to focus on to really have that edge. So here's the most important one. Or number one is creating positive images, like we talked about before, the first P. So I want to go into this a little bit more depth here. The first P tonight, which is positive images. See yourself doing it right. And top athletes use visualization to create a picture of their goal. And so for you as coaches, to accomplish anything of value in life, you need to begin with some kind of vision or dream, right? And the more clearly you can see that picture in your mind, the more likely it is to become reality. So I tell my athletes and coaches, wherever you place your attention, your energy will follow. So let me repeat that. Wherever you place your attention, your energy will follow. I think this is a real key tool that you can use, a concept you can use for your clients, no matter what they're doing. Whatever you focus on, you know, that's what you're going to get, like the magnet technique that I was talking about last time. You can use your magnet to attract anything that you want in your life. And wherever, if you focus on, you know, if you're injured and you focus on, oh, man, that darn knee keeps hurting, and we give it lots of negative energy, and we're constantly, you know, saying negative things about, let's say, an injured knee, then chances are that negative energy goes right in there and it continues to hurt, and it becomes more and more difficult to heal. But if you focus on, you know, positive energy on, let's say, a part of the body that you want to heal and giving it the care that it needs, boy, it just makes a huge difference in the rate of healing, and it just keeps you much more positive as well. So it's something you can teach your athletes all along the way. And also, the more that you work on these techniques yourself as a coach and as a parent, as a you know, in whatever that you are doing as an athlete yourself, then the better coach you are going to be, because you're going to be able to role model these techniques for your clients. So you might be asking, well, what is visualization? And your athletes will probably be asking you this, your clients. So here's one way that you can describe it to them, which I think is very powerful, that you can tell them, visualization is a technique of using your imagination to create what you want in your life or in your training. There's nothing new or unusual about visualization or imagery. In fact, you're already using it every day, every minute, whether or not you're aware of it. And it's just your natural power of imagination. So I like to use the example when I'm giving my talks for athletes or for a corporate audience. It's a great example you can use. I like to use. How many of you have ever worried before? And most people raise their hands, of course. I mean, we've all worried. We're an army of worriers. That's why I say we are warrior warriors. And that's a great example of visualization. You're worrying about that horrible thing that you might have to face. Let's say a team, you know, let's say an athlete is, they're playing rugby or soccer or baseball. They're worrying about the rival team, football team, baseball, whatever it is. They're thinking about that other team that they have to face. If you're a marathoner, triathlete, you're thinking about mile 18. If you're cycling, it's you know, think about that hill you have to climb. If you're a coach, you might be thinking about that really difficult client that you have to see, that the one that you don't like or the one that never does their homework. So those kinds of things always come up. That's what we worry about, right? We create this widescreen movie in our mind with all the detail. You know how when you go to a movie theater, we just accept that people are 35 feet tall in the movie theater? And we create this illusion. We make people larger than life. Now picture this on your movie screen. Let's say you're asking yourself about all the what ifs, that nagging knee problem, or what if, oh, you know, you're at a race and you're thinking, oh, what if, what's her name shows up? Are you picturing that horrible or uncomfortable, how uncomfortable this is going to be? Or you're thinking about a conversation you might have to have with your, say one of your employees or a coworker, or someone, a relationship in your life. As you're picturing this, your blood pressure soars. You know, can you feel it right now? Your neck and shoulders are locked up with tension. You can't talk because all your saliva gets rerouted to your hands. You know, you've been there before. We've all been there, right? Your mind is 100% there, and your body reacts as though you are right in that situation. I mean, that's visualization. In fact, we're all champion visualizers. We're just using all this power for the wrong purpose most of the time. Right? You know, as you're thinking of this scenario, you can be thinking of how you could describe this to your athletes, and it's a powerful way to show them exactly that powerful mind-body connection. And most of us use our imagination unconsciously or sometimes unproductively. And even the best athletes that I work with have had slumps occasionally. Like one client I was working with, it was a tennis player. Actually, I've worked with many tennis players, golfers, equestrian, swimmers, all kinds of clients have had the same issue. The one I'm thinking of was a golfer, and he calls me up. He says, "Dr. Dahlketter, I need your help." I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "I get so nervous even when I get close to the putting green. The ball goes everywhere except in the hole." And I said, well, tell me what's going on. Tell me more. He says, "Well, you know, I'm really good at negative visualization. I have so many experiences to tap into." You know, we've all got that negative imagery, right? The problem is we usually practice the mistakes over and over, and the body follows those mental instructions. And so my question to you, and your question could be to your athletes, what negative thoughts go through your head? You know, at your training, competitions, or at your work even? You know, what are the mistakes that you play over and over in your mind? Maybe a miscommunication with one of your clients, or a staff person, or coaches. It's like you know, watching a movie, Gone with the Wind, over and over 1,000 times. You see, the mind and body are so well connected that the body cannot tell the difference between something you imagine and something that's actually happening. Now, that's powerful. I mean, just imagine what you could do if you had your mind and body in balance, working well together. You see, when you're balanced, you're more productive, more positive, more fulfilled in your life. And, you know, for all of us on this call, how many of you, that's what you're looking for? And now I think with the Performing Edge techniques here, you can learn to use that powerful mind-body connection. Use your imagination to create what you truly want. You can have, you know, create this for your clients, and for yourself, your health, your fitness, performing well, all consistently. You can have that fulfillment. You can have fulfilling work and prosperity, balance in your life. You can have whatever your heart desires. And it's very simple. Actually, it's more simple than you think. With visualization, number one, you simply create a clear image of something you want to happen. And number two, you continue to focus on that idea regularly, giving it positive energy until it becomes part of your reality. And these two steps, simple steps, are things you can easily teach your clients. Number one, again, creating that clear image of something you want to happen. And number two, continuing to focus on that image regularly, to giving it positive energy so it becomes part of your thinking, part of your being, part of your reality. And here again is how I want to give you a concept of how to explain, you know, when you're introducing these concepts to your clients in a coaching session. They might ask, well, how does this Performing Edge coaching work? What you can say, this is something I want you to understand how this works in the brain, because it's a very helpful kind of concept, I think, that you could use even in talks, as you're giving talks for groups of people or individuals. You know, they might ask, well, how do you do that? How does imagery work, or visualization? And really what I say is images are an effective way of coding instructions to the brain. So it's a better way of talking to the brain. So imagery guides much of our experience because it's a more efficient, more complete language than is possible with words. I mean, try to describe to someone how to execute the perfect running form, you know, with words without using any pictures. You're just, you know, you're trying to talk about the length of your stride, your posture, your foot plant, you know, leaning forward. You know, you could write a book, right? Just you could use numbers, you can use graphs, But then try showing that same running form just through a quick video replay of a good runner, let's say a top Kenyan. You know, all those guys have this amazing form, right? Bounding up a hill or running in the New York City Marathon. And you convey that exact message you want in a few seconds just with this simple video replay. No words, just watching this beautiful running form. And people say, yeah, I get it. I see how that happens. And so that just describes how imagery is a powerful way of communicating. Now with YouTube, of course, everything's on video, so it's so much easier to communicate. And with you, if you can do some video and do it on YouTube, it's a very powerful way that you can show who you are and show an image of your confidence, your message, your purpose, because it's all imagery. It's using this powerful technique. So, that's a great example of how powerful imagery is. And some of the benefits of visualization, people might ask you, your clients or potential people, what do you use it for? How can I benefit from this? But these are some things you could put on your website or on your marketing materials, talking about how you can use visualization to, say, improve concentration and focus. You can build self-confidence. You can build self-confidence in yourself. I know many of you talked about how can I be more confident as a coach. Visualization is a powerful way to do that. Just imagine someone that you know that is a confident coach and see what they are doing and then put that vision in your mind and visualize yourself doing the same kinds of things. And that's what we can all learn and teach each other in this program, is how to help each other be more confident coaches, I think, and build that self-confidence up and by sharing stories, sharing success stories, helping each other with issues that come up and questions. And the more experience you have and the more preparation you have beforehand, then that confidence begins to grow and build. It's just a very powerful kind of thing. Like, you know, you might, let's say you get a new client with a different sport that you're not really familiar with. Like I started in, only working with runners and triathletes because that's the sport that I was most familiar with. That's where my background is as an athlete. You know, winning San Francisco Marathon and being second in the Ironman, I knew those sports very well. But then other athletes started contacting me. I didn't have a clue. First, I got a guy that called me up, and he's a bucking bronco in the rodeo, you know, and is on the bull for 8 seconds. I mean, I didn't have a clue about this sport. I'd say, God, you are crazy. And I think, you think we're crazy as triathletes. And but he came into the office, and he seriously wanted to work on his confidence and being able to be able to focus. I mean, guy drives all the way across the country, and then you get 8 seconds to perform. On top of you got thousands of people in the stands, and you're on this bucking bronco. You got to be up there for 8 seconds until you get thrown off, and hopefully not injured. Sometimes it's a life or death situation. And so I just listened. I just sat in the office and had him here and took down lots of notes, asked lots of questions. And I learned his vocabulary, his words, his experience. And I just had an attitude of curiosity. So I was able to, you know, in no time, in very little time, just adapt his language and be able to then create a visualization and some training around his goals, even though I had no idea what he's doing. And of course, now with YouTube and Google, you can find out anything very quickly. You can get to know a sport pretty quickly through some research. But you also want to know that specific athlete's issues and what they are experiencing. And so I was able to, you know, coach him through this. All of a sudden, you know, become a quick expert, fake it till you make it, as they say, and be able to help him through his confidence so that, he could use this technique of visualization just like we're talking about here, mentally rehearsing himself, going through his mind 100 times what he wants to do, all the different scenarios when he's out there. So by the time he gets on the bull, he is so well prepared. He's seen all the different possibilities in his mind, and he knows what to do, that he was able to nail it and just perform much better and have that confidence. You see, the mistake that most athletes make and the mistake most coaches make is we tend to only see the perfect scenario, you know, the perfect race, or we see ourselves with the perfect client. We see everything going just right. But, you know, that sometimes doesn't happen. And so what you want to do is be able to practice all the different scenarios in your mind with your athlete. Let's say, what if they're in front? What if they're behind? What if they're neck and neck with another athlete? What if they're feeling good? Practice that. What if they're not feeling so good? Practice that, being able to handle the different possibilities. What if the weather is really bad? Be able to have that rehearsed in their mind. And you could do the same thing as a coach. Practice, what if you have a client that's your ideal client? That's great. You know, visualize that. It might not always happen that way. What if you have a client that's very resistant, a client that's, that has, you know, doesn't do their homework, or a client that's not really motivated, a client that doesn't talk very much? You know, and we'll go over some of these scenarios as well. Imagine what you can do to be able to get them into a flow and be able to gradually open them up. See yourself having a plan for each scenario that happens so that you're prepared. And that's where the confidence comes from, I think. If you can, you know, rehearse in your mind the different things that might happen and then say, okay, what could I do in this situation? And then practice that in your mind and then practice it with the client. And the confidence begins to build. Now, you might be wondering, and your clients might ask you, well, why does imagery work? Why is this technique so powerful? Well, there's nothing magical or mysterious about visualization. In fact, there's a large body of research supporting its effectiveness, showing why it works. Did you know that when you imagine yourself performing an action, let's say you're thinking about going out on a workout, or as a coach, let's say you're imagining being with a client, and you know, maybe a difficult client that you want to figure out how to work with. Well, as you're imagining this, you are transmitting electrical impulses to the muscles involved in that action. So let me say that again. As you're imagining your activity, you are transmitting electrical impulses to the muscles involved in that action. So what does that mean? Well, let me show you how this works. Let's say you are working with a client. I had a woman I was working with who was in kayaking, actually. She was using visualization to strengthen her mind-body connection, and she had made the Olympic kayaking team using this performing edge technique. And she calls me up beforehand when we first start working together. She says, Dr. Dahlketter, the Olympic trials are only 3 months away, and my body is so well trained, but my mind, it's like a mental marshmallow. I said, wow, mental marshmallow is a healthy concept. So I brought her into my office, and we did a computerized biofeedback assessment. And I hook her up, and I placed EMG electrodes, that's electromyograph electrodes, on her bicep muscles. So then I had her visualize the race. And so she's hooked up with this biofeedback equipment right on her bicep, on the front of her arm. And as she's visualizing on my computer, you know, boom, we see the graph changes instantly, and those exact muscles are being activated as she's visualizing the race. The ones that, you know, her bicep muscles are being activated. Now think about that. So when you visualize yourself as a coach, let's say, or you have an athlete, let's say you're have a cyclist you're working with, and you're rehearsing, you know, zooming up a hill, cranking those pedals up the hill, you know, and you feel your body, your posture, your muscles working hard, you know, you're training your mind and body to do exactly what you want. You're actually strengthening your neural pathways so you can perform your best. So same thing with as a coach. When you, as you visualize yourself, let's say, working with another athlete or working with someone who's healing from an injury, someone who wants to get more confident, as you, let's say you're imagining your body posture, your gestures, your voice intonation, imagining how you're communicating with that person, imagining the energy that you're projecting and how the connection between you and that other person. As you're visualizing this, you are training your mind and body to do exactly what you want. You're actually strengthening your neural pathways so you can perform your best. Now, that's powerful. And so it's good to understand the physiology behind what this, that this is not just hocus-pocus. It's not some magical kind of thing that happens. There's a huge body of research showing, you know, cancer patients, when they visualize the, you know, the healthy cells get multiply and the cancer cells can really diminish as people are visualizing this process going on inside, visualizing the, you know, their body being able to fight the cancer. It's just amazing what can happen when you use visualization on a regular basis. Most people say, oh, yeah, I visualize, but you really need to help them to practice using it, using these techniques on a step-by-step process, which we're going to go through in just a moment here. I wanted to give you one story. You know, we all know the story of Lance Armstrong, and you can tell your clients these kinds of stories as well, you know, about healing clients or transformation. And I encourage you to start making a swipe file of stories that you come across, your own stories of healing and transformation and things that you've been through, your own personal stories, as well as stories of athletes, you know, you hear about on TV or on the Internet, that in the news, things that are happening currently or the classic stories that have happened in the past. You know, create a swipe file or a folder in your computer of all of these stories that come up so that you can relate those to your clients and use them in your talks that you give. And you can use them in your writing as well, you know, writing articles to help market your practice. These stories are amazingly powerful, stories of transformation and stories of overcoming challenges. And you can, when you tell a powerful story to your client, even on the phone, when you're trying to get them in as a prospect into your practice, even that's one way I've gotten many of my clients in is I tell them a story of a client I worked with that I had a good success with, and that is convincing enough for this other new person to want to work with me. So, you know, begin to gather these stories together. Or if you don't have clients yet, you can just gather stories of other people that, you know, have used these same kinds of techniques, visualization, that have made tremendous gains, and that can help you as well. So, for instance, Lance Armstrong, as you know, is a powerful example of using visualization to overcome obstacles. And Lance, I think, is really one of the definition of personal transformation and resiliency and inner strength in the face of obstacles. Of course, we all know in 1996 and 97, he fought one of the greatest battles of his life, overcoming testicular cancer with less than 50% chance of living. Lance beat the odds. He moved beyond survival and to win the Tour de France 7 consecutive times. And Lance is Armstrong. He knows about life's setbacks, and he's a master at turning them into comebacks. I actually got to interview Lance for my book, for Your Performing Edge, when he came to San Francisco for the Grand Prix bike race. And I was suggesting that this is a great technique, by the way, to get clients into your practice or to also be able to do great interviews. Is if you notice that someone's coming into town, you know, like I noticed Lance was coming for this bike race, I mean, I knew that like 3 or 4 months in advance, and so I applied for a media credential. And, you know, I don't work for a major newspaper or television company, but I just simply said I was writing a book, and I wrote for a magazine, a small magazine. So I just told them that, and I was able to get a media credential to get in to interview Lance Armstrong. So, and then be able to include that in my book. So it's a great thing for you to consider. I know Nicole was asking about how do you get athletes to, be able to get to work with, approach teams and how to get teams to want to talk to you. One of the best ways is to interview them, have that curiosity, go in as a media person. And you don't have to be, everyone's part of the media these days, the social media. We're all like reporters. You can have your blog, just reporting with a special blog that you have. You could call it Endurance Report, or just writing an article for a book, and just go in and interview people. And then oftentimes I've found with athletes that I interview, I create a relationship with them, and then down the road I see them a few times and ask them if they'd like to work with me, or they ask me to work with them, and it just creates this wonderful relationship. So that's a great way to actually, get to work with top-level people. So I with the story with Lance, I asked Lance, well, what was the most difficult part of that illness for you? And he told me, well, do you know I had to have brain surgery to remove the tumors that temporarily blinded me? Well, then there were 4 rounds of the most vicious chemotherapy available to rid my body of this cancer that was out of control. And he said, after each session I would ride, I would try to understand, why is this happening? And Lance told me, he said, I was mad at the illness. He said, in sport you have competitors that are a bit like the enemy. You have to put an enemy's face on them. And so I tried to do that with the illness. I mean, here you have something that was literally trying to take my life. I was angry that it chose me, so I tried to make it a fight, Lance versus the cancer. And during my interview with him, Lance told me that actually these techniques that we're talking about tonight, the visualization techniques and positive attitude, those were the keys to bringing him a sense of hope and actually saving his life. And so this stuff works. I mean, it's powerful. It works. It can work for you individually, and it can work for your clients. So here's what you can do if you're serious about this, which I know all of you are being part of the Performing Edge Coach Training course here and certification. If you're serious about your coaching and training your athletes and your clients, I mean, this, you could be basically a gold medal performer as a coach. So I want to just go over the steps to doing visualization. And then all of this will be in the executive summary and action guide in the members area right after the call tonight and tomorrow. And so the steps to visualization are, it's not just basically you want to tell your athletes and clients that imagery and visualization, it's not just wishful thinking or daydreaming about the great person or the great athlete you'd like to be. I mean, it's a learned skill. Just like you take years and years to learn your sport, the physical part, visualization is a learned skill. It requires effort and focus and discipline and regular practice if you want to gain the maximum benefits. The great thing is it doesn't take a lot of extra time. You can do it, 5-10 minutes right before you go to sleep, and you can do it right before your workout, and you can do it during the workout. So you're actually just making a better use of the current time that you have, making better use of your training. So the key principles, here's the key principles for doing effective imagery, for making, everybody's doing visualization of some sort probably, but how many people are really effective at it? These are some of the key principles that I've discovered in working with people that make the most difference. First one is timing, and imagery can be used at any time, at home or before, during, or after training or racing. And in the learning phases, I think that imagery is best and easier to do in a non-distracting environment, something that's quiet, at home, say before bedtime. And it's most effective when your mind is very calm and your body is relaxed. So, but one of the also one of the best times that people overlook is like 5 minutes before a workout. You know, most of the time we spend half the workout just, you know, clearing our mind of all the stuff we just did beforehand, and we're thinking about all the things that we have to do in the future. And so we only get in maybe a few minutes at toward the end of really focused training, or your athletes do. So if you can spend, if you can have your athletes and your clients, and you can try this yourself, let's say even before you do any kind of task yourself, spend 5 minutes beforehand visualizing exactly what you want to accomplish, breathing, seeing a real clear picture of what it is that you want to do. See yourself doing it right now in the present, then you're going to have a much better chance of accomplishing it exactly the way that you picture it. And now the second step, that's timing, and the second thing is breathing and centering. So you want to begin with a few minutes of deep abdominal breathing. So you want to put one hand on your stomach, a couple inches below the belly button, and just feel your hand rise and fall with each breath. And practice this. So that's the abdominal breathing part. And then with centering, you want to imagine that, close your eyes and imagine that as you're breathing in, breathe in through your nose and focus on your center, a couple inches behind your belly button. And then breathe out through your mouth and relax. And just imagine that there's tiny valves, special openings at the ends of your fingertips and toes to let go of the tension. So that's a great way to do your centering process, which brings, really gets rid of all the all the distracting thoughts of the past, it gets rid of the worries of the future, and brings you right here, right now, because this is the only moment that we have control over. The only moment that really matters is right here, right now. So breathing and centering helps bring you into the moment. And then the third step is imagining or imaging. Create an image in your mind of, as vividly as possible, something you want to achieve for your clients, something in their sport, and for yourself, for your coaching. Imagine, let's say, working with your ideal client, attracting the kinds of clients that you want into your practice, into your business. And maybe you could even imagine the kind of day that you want, you know, the whole, you know, a typical day for you, the way, you know, usually our day starts with reading email and letting other people kind of control whatever's happening. We sort of are off in all kinds of directions trying to take care of everyone else's requests. But imagine creating a day where you are in control, and you imagine the ideal day for you, what you'd like that to look like, and see a very clear picture of that. For instance, I, you know, imagine getting up in the morning and starting with some exercise of some sort to be able to wake up in a good, healthy way, and then being able to do the real focused work at my computer, you know, for 2 or 3 hours in the morning when I'm most clear. And then, only then, like checking email and other things in between breaks after that, so that, you know, so you get the most focused work done at the time when you are most clear mentally. And being able to take those breaks throughout the day. You know, imagine those kinds of things, creating the lifestyle that you want as a coach. So that's the third step. We've got timing, breathing and centering, imagining, imaging. And then the fourth thing is sensing, bringing all five senses into your experience so you can see and hear and feel what it's like to have a great experience, a great performance, a great day. And so bring the scene into the present tense so you're totally focused on the task at hand. Now, I want to go into this just for a moment and talk a little bit about why should imagery be a sensory experience? What do you think? I mean, what's important about senses? See, that's an area that most people don't even get into that I think is really important with this training. I think senses are key. Well, events can be felt and remembered most vividly through the senses. I mean, it makes the experience more tangible. So let's do a little exercise for just a moment here. I want you to, all of you on the call, and if you're listening to the replay, you can do it during the replay. I want you to close your eyes and imagine something really good that happened to you. Bring your senses in. and you could see and hear and feel. How do you how do you experience it? What do you do? Do you jump up in the air? Do you twirl around? Did you hug someone next to you? Did you make a fist or shout out, yes, or have a huge smile? Can you feel the excitement in your body? Take a moment to just imagine that experience right now. And see yourself there, being able to just feel good inside. And then just see, notice, bring all five senses into the experience so you can notice which senses are the most prevalent for you. And then I want you to just, you could take a moment to write it down, write what senses you noticed and what you experienced. And then you can have your clients do the same kind of exercise later on, just as a quick, even this week as you're doing a practice client, if you can find one to work with. Just imagine have them do a short sensory exercise like this. Just imagine something really good that happened and then have them just be aware of all their senses and write down what happened. I did this with this exercise with a corporate group up in Oregon, actually about 5 years ago. I was giving a talk to a group of managers, and afterward I asked, well, so what did you experience? What senses did you notice? And the CEO of the corporation said, stink. He says, yeah, that's what I noticed, stink. I said, what? And he said, I finished my first marathon, the New York City Marathon, and I could smell the sweat on my body. And that's what that was, you probably know that the sense of smell is very tied in with memory. And so that's what he remembered, and it brought back great memories of a feeling of accomplishment, of working really hard, and his body was totally spent. And so just the sensation of smelling the sweat on his body brought back a good feeling. And so that's the kind of thing that you might get from people that you're working with. So if you have questions, by the way, you can feel free to just press *6 on your phone to ask any questions that you have, and I'll be happy to answer them all along the way here if you'd like. So I'll see you in the dashboard here. So what I wanted to emphasize with this exercise is when the senses are brought into an experience, it makes you pay better attention. So it makes you pay better attention to the details of how you complete an action or a skill. So the goal is to fully experience everything you need to do to be successful in your performance, for your athletes to be successful in their performances, and for you as a coach, I want you to, imagine what it's like to have, let's say, a great coaching session with someone, to help someone to heal, when they're going through a difficult time. Imagine that if you can get in your mind the feeling of accomplishment, imagine that you have been working with someone for a few sessions, and let's say they're getting through, they're healing from an injury, and imagine the feeling of satisfaction and accomplishment bringing somebody through a difficult time and seeing their progress giving them assignments and then seeing them actually carry out those assignments. Can you, get in touch with the feeling of them smiling and thanking you and being able to let you know how good they feel and what they're experiencing, and being able to just come back each week and ask for more and more of your advice and your questions. What a great feeling that can be. If you can keep that sense in your mind, that image of a client that you have helped in the past or one that you would like to help in the future, and keep that in your mind on a regular basis, draw a picture of it, or write those thoughts down on, you know, on a Word document on your computer, or just by hand, and then keep that out in front of you. That can be so powerful in terms of motivating you to keep moving forward and to keep creating the kind of practice and coaching business that you want. So, you know, for instance, if you're an athlete, with your senses, you want to visualize your training form, your pacing, your balance, your range of motion. If you're a coach, you know, you can visualize your posture, your confidence, your state of mind, your energy level. You can imagine your voice, hear the sound of your voice, that confidence in your voice, how you deliver your message. You know, just all of those things can make a big difference. And so bring all five senses. If you want to make a change in your performance, you want to incorporate as many senses as possible into your imagery. And now a couple other things, steps along the way with increasing the effectiveness of your imagery, is you want to develop positive images. Use positive images. Don't replay the mistakes. I always tell people, do see what you do want, don't see what you don't want. So, you know, if you see yourself doing something incorrectly, you want to edit the film in your mind, replay it exactly the way you want it to happen. So, for instance, you know, with this, I used to work with this cyclist, and he would crash all the time, you know, with these other riders, run into the other bikes, and I would tell him, what are you thinking? I'd ask him, what are you thinking about? He said, I'm thinking, I don't want to crash. And he would see that in his mind. Well, what, you know, of course, he's reinforcing the very thing that he wants to avoid. So I said, well, what do you want to happen? And he said, I want to feel relaxed on the bike and be focused and keep the right distance between me and the guy ahead of me. So we had him visualize that, you know, being able to be relaxed and focused and not even use the word crash, because that's, you know, really reinforcing the wrong stuff, right? And the last thing here is a step for imagery is modeling. You want to be able to use visual models and guides. So especially before you go to sleep at night, have your athletes, your clients, watch a video of a superior, you know, performance, something, or on YouTube, you know, there's tons of stuff on if you want to. I was working with an equestrian rider recently, and I had her just look up, you know, she's working with dressage, a type of, you know, riding, and so she would look up those kinds of riders and be able to watch a few minutes of great riding right before she would go to sleep at night, and it really made a huge difference. Then you're thinking, what you're thinking about tends to be what you dream about for those 8 hours, so you can get in some really great training as opposed to worrying about all the mistakes that you made beforehand. So also for you as a coach, same thing, you know, visualize, use some visual models, look up great coaching or great speaking on YouTube and watch a few moments of somebody who's doing some good coaching or speaking, and you'll see, you know, an image of confidence there. And so you can go, imagine going to bed with that feeling of confidence, so that the last image that you saw right before you went to bed, you go to bed, is this wonderful image of confidence and power, inner strength, and that your whole mind is working in that direction all the way through. Then you're going to be able to have a much more relaxed sleep and be able to work, your subconscious mind will be working on this all through the evening. Now I'm going to want to do a switch topics here for a moment. So I'm going to just switch CDs so I can record the second one here. So if you hang on just one moment. All right. All right, we're back here. for this last portion of the call, and I wanted to go over a few of the, just a kind of a part two of what makes Performing Edge Coaching unique and some of the marketing stuff that can, I think, be really helpful for you. We talked last time about some of the key characteristics with Performing Edge Coaching, and I wanted to go into a few more of those, things that you can do that no one else is doing out there with this kind of quality. The first thing is the custom MP3 files for your mental training. I think this is one of the only programs that offers that that I'm aware of. So I'm going to teach you next in our next session how to do those custom MP3 files for your mental training. And I was mentioning at the early part of the call, if you can think of a practice coaching client, it could be a current client or it could be a friend, it could be a family member or a colleague, just someone to go over a questionnaire with, and I'll have the questionnaire in the members area. It's what I call a pre-visualization questionnaire, where you ask the person about, you know, what kinds of things. Let's say someone was going in for, an athlete was going in for some surgery. You'd want to ask them, you know, what kinds of things are comforting for you, or what places are helpful for you that are relaxing that you could visualize ahead of time. You can think of, have them create a success anchor. You know, what's something that you could do with your hands, or, you know, when you're in a peak experience in the past, what's an anchor, a color, a shape, or a word, something that brings comfort to you, and create all of those kinds of images ahead of time, and so that when they're going in for, let's say, this surgery, that they're, you can create a visualization MP3 file that helps them prepare and is very comforting for them, gives them all their specific tools, you know, that they're asking about their favorite color and the favorite place they like to go on vacation and the people that they feel most comfortable with in their lives. You know, try to get really specific information. That way you can create a customized, very personal MP3 file that has their name and their vision and exactly what they are going through. And that's what, you know, really creates a good MP3 file for them, a good visualization experience, creates a good relationship between you and the client, so they'll keep coming back continually afterward. And then you could create MP3 files for healing afterward. In fact, that's the second category that I think makes Performing Edge Coaching unique is that you can create a whole library of these audio trainings for your clients. So once you have one of these, I mean, that's just the beginning. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Think about, you know, how powerful that is. Most of the time when I make even one visualization CD, MP3 for a client, they're just so blown away with the results that they get from that they're coming back begging for more. Wow, can you make me another one of these for, you know, for balance in my life, for confidence, for handling the tough parts of this event coming up. And then after that event, of course, they got another tough event, and so they want you to make another visualization for that. And you have this continual stream of clients asking you for more MP3 files because it's something that you know, they really get great success from. So of course they're going to want more of those from you. And there's so many different topics that you can create them on. One for motivation, one for focus, one for more energy, and you can just be very specific about that and the way that you do those for them. And then, of course, everyone's oriented toward iPods these days. We're living in a great time right now with mobile technology, so you know they can listen to them on their iPod, on their phone, in their car. Although in the car, you want them to not close their eyes, of course, unless someone else is driving. So, you know, and I was just going to say, even, you know, if you're creating something for someone who's going in for a procedure, an athlete's going in for some sports injury, a surgery, they could be listening to it in their car while someone else is driving them to the procedure, and it's very powerful. That's one of the most stressful times for any athlete, is going to, you know, a surgery to get, you know, something worked on. And they need your help. They need these kinds of mental preparation CDs, and you have the power to make these now, you know, with this training. So we'll go into that specifically next time. And then some other things that make this kind of training very powerful is listening. I think your ability to listen on a very deep level is really important, to be totally, you know, use that present focus that we're talking about, be right here, right now. And on the phone is different than in office, of course. So when you're listening, when you're talking with someone on the phone, you can get very deep into issues just as much as when they're in the office. I think it's more comfortable actually on the phone because people feel more comfortable with you. They sometimes relate even deeper. And, you know, you can listen to their voice and listen to the pauses in between. And you don't have as many cues as when they're in the office with you. But what you do have is their energy level. And you can, you may need to work a little harder to project exactly what you want to say. But it's important to realize that your voice can project a lot of caring and a lot of listening. And the better that you, the more deeply you listen, the more you'll get the real picture of what is going on. And the better you can ask questions, you know, just taking from what they've said, ask follow-up questions, ask deeper and deeper questions. And use that workbook that is in the private members area there. There's just a wealth of all those questions that I gave you in that workbook are just a gold mine of information and different. Those each of those questions could actually be a homework assignment in itself just for a client. You know, if you use one of those questions a week, you'd have like 50 or 100 sessions just with a client. So those are kinds of things that you can ask them. Say two or three of those questions on each session, and that'll get you very deep into their issues. The next thing you want to do that makes this training very special is a kind of a laser focus on their needs. Right from the beginning, I try to, you know, just I'm not thinking about where we're going next or what happened before this. I'm just totally focused on what brought them there and what it is that they want to work on. You know, I don't necessarily, in the first session, I might do some history taking, but I don't do a lot of, tell me about your childhood and other kinds of things going way back into the past, because most clients want to say they've got some pressing need right then, and you want to address exactly what it is that they wanted to work on right now. And there'll be time later on if you want to delve into more of the background information. But at first, you want to just be right here, right now, right on with the client's specific needs for what brought them there. So that's often the first question I'll ask them is, well, tell me what brings you here, or tell me why you called, what's going on right now, and just get right into it so they know that you really care about their deepest need right now. And I wanted to mention a couple other things, too, that you want to do within your coaching is, and this is a marketing kind of technique as well, is to be flexible with your scheduling with a client. When a client has an urgent need, you know, let's say that like that tennis player I was mentioning last week, the high school girl, she had an urgent, you know, situation with the next day she had to perform and win, you know, her match, tennis match, or she wasn't going to make it to the state championships. And so, you know, I was flexible in that I just talked with her then, and we did a session right there, right after the initial conversation that evening. So I didn't wait to schedule something for later on, because I said, well, we can do it right now if you want, because the need was there. And so that's how I was able to get the client, even though, as I mentioned last time, she'd seen the parent had her seen three or four other psychologists before me. And because I was there available to her and had different techniques that they didn't have, I was able to get the case, and she wanted to work with me. And then what happened was, you know, typically you say you want to work with a client once a week type of thing. But in certain situations, be flexible. Like with this client, we had such a great outcome the next day. She did win the championship and or win the match and was able to go on to state championships. You know, we did a session a couple days later. It scheduled like two sessions a week rather than just one. So, you know, because, you know, for that next month, there was a lot going on. So it's okay to double up on sessions. It helps you with your income and helps them with their being able to get exactly what they need at the time. And a couple other things I wanted to mention was with regard to this, the Performing Edge techniques is being able to partner with the client. You want to feel like you are a thought partner, that it's not just a one-way conversation, but it's you offering the techniques that will work the best for that particular client, and being able to ask lots of questions along the way, and it's like you and that client are developing this together. So it's a process, and the more that they are involved in the goal setting and that you get their agreement on things, the more they are going to want to work with you. Now, I wanted to mention the area of trust as well. That you want to, when you're working with clients, you can build trust. You build trust with your client by following through with all your commitments. So that means, like, you know, just the little things that we take for granted, but that clients really need from you is being ready early. Not just being at the session, but, you know, taking 10 minutes ahead of time to get yourself ready. Sending the client the MP3 file, you know, visualization right after the session. Excuse me. So I do the session, do the visualization, and within 5 minutes after the session, I'm emailing the client the MP3 file. I mean, that builds trust, and they're really impressed. Wow, I got this thing right away. And so they can listen to it that night before they go to sleep. It's very powerful. And then they trust you more and more and want to come back for more sessions. I also take notes during the session, and then right afterward I email them the notes that I took. And that's powerful as well. It's best to do it right afterward when it's fresh in your mind. And I'll give you an example of this in the members area, too, of how I do this with a client. And also thinking of an assignment and sending them that right after the session. Excuse me, my voice is going out a little bit. Now, I also have a list of mistakes that coaches make. And we'll go over more of these next time, I think. And I'll put some of them in the members area as well. And next time, we were going to do some of this time, the model of coaching, but actually I think it would be best to do that next time. And I want to remind you, next time we're going to meet Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific. So 1 p.m. Eastern time, so the people on the East Coast can and around the world can call in more easily. And I've checked with everyone. It sounds like that's a good time for most people. So it'll be March 10th at 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Pacific in the morning, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And I know several of you asked me some questions in your questionnaire. I really appreciate you sending those in. And so I'll be answering some of those. You can look in the members area there in Module 2. Also, I'm going to be adding more questions and answers up above in the upper navigation bar where it says Coach FAQs. I'll answer some of the questions there as well, and then we'll answer some more on the call next week. So any questions that you have in between now and then feel free to email them to me, and I'll be happy to answer them either directly to you by email or on the calls or in the members area, because we've got lots of choices here, or I can do it all three ways. So, yeah, it was great. This week I'd like to have you read chapters, let's see, you can just read chapter three. It's an interview with, Olympian that I worked with. That's a great interview. That'll be fun. An Olympic mindset interview. It's fantastic. And then read chapter four and five in terms of coaching techniques. And then find your practice coaching client. And then I'll look in the members area for the questionnaire, pre-visualization questionnaire, and if you can ask those questions of that person, it's best if you can do it by phone, actually in an interview with them by phone, or you can actually email them the questions too and have them send them to you. But often I find that people don't take the time to send you the answers. It's much better for you to actually ask them on the phone. That way you get the experience as a coach of interacting with them. And this way it will give you the information so that the next time you can actually, I'll teach you how to make them this visualization. And then we'll go into more depth next time with the coaching model, actually the structure of how I do coaching with clients. So, I wanted to thank everyone for being on the call tonight. And if you have questions in between, feel free to email me. And it's just great having you all here, and I want you to all get as much as possible out of this experience. And feel free to email me with any questions or concerns you have. We'll see you next week on the call, Thursday, March 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern. So good night for now, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.